Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Mirazza. Happy Monday to you. The Chiefs stomp out the Bucks on Sunday Night Football. Antonio Brown leaves us hanging. It's the best of the DA show. Now.
We start, though, on Sunday Night Football, where the last time we saw the Chiefs and the Buccaneers was in that very stadium. 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, following the 2020 season. It was a night that was defined by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers D. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs' attack seemed unstoppable. Prior to that Super Bowl, they had won a championship the previous season and then missed out on a chance the year before that because they didn't win the coin toss in overtime. Mahomes never touched that football. And then they were back in the Super Bowl against the Bucs. But that's when everything changed for that Chiefs offense. The line was a sieve. The Buccaneers harassed Mahomes all day long. Mahomes was forced into some bad decisions and running around like a chicken with his head cut off, chucking it up in the air. And the Chiefs in general just did not play well that day offensively. The Buccaneers' defense put a stranglehold on the unstoppable force known as the Chiefs' attack. That game was a whitewash, and we remember just Mahomes looking around going, what happened here? Well, last night was the exact opposite, because for all of the big sacks, big stops, and harassment of Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, the Bucs D got none of that. None of that. Which is interesting because Tampa Bay's defense through the first 3 weeks of the season has been very stout. So what happened last night as the Chiefs put up 38 points in the victory and had a 21-3 lead of the first half? It is where we begin your cold open.
Second and goal to go. Chiefs at the 10. Slant. It is caught. It's caught by Jody Fartson. Rolls into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Jody Fartson singled on the near side against Carlton Davis. And the Chiefs, if the Bucs can use Mike Evans, the Chiefs will use Jody Fortson.
The NFL hasn't seen anything like Pat Mahomes, I promise you that. And you saw it today. He's the Houdini of our era, man. The guy just finds ways to make plays throughout the game. I mean, big-time third downs, big-time goal line plays, just willing our team into the end zone, willing our team to win, and that's our ultimate leader, man.
Now he's going to shovel it back to Godwin. He'll get tackled. Goodbye, Buccaneers. This game is over. Tom Brady in the regular season has a record against the Kansas City Chiefs of 5 wins and 6 losses.
Well, it's a team sport, so, you know, we didn't play great on offense. We didn't help them very much either, so we didn't do great in the first half. Too many missed opportunities on third down, turnovers. So, tough game, tough team. You know, they're a good team, but, you know, we got to play a lot better if we want to be good teams. So, hasn't been our best yet this year. Be good to see what it looks like when we do play our best.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
You heard Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio there. You then heard Travis Kelce and Tom Brady. And my mistake, Chiefs score 41 points last night in the 41-38 victory. Late field goal as well in there gives them 41 points from the fourth quarter. So I think the big takeaway for me is Mahomes was brilliant last night. Mahomes' Houdini act, as you heard Travis Kelce say there, where he's nearly taken down to the backfield near the goal line. Instead, gets around the would-be tackler and then stops just short of the line of scrimmage and then gives that little shovel jump pass forward to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's really nobody else in football that has that type of dexterity, that type of court awareness, if you will, to use a basketball phrase. Mahomes does the pirouette. Mahomes gets away from a tackler. Mahomes stops just short of the line of scrimmage and then shovels it forward. I mean, that's like five different quick decisions and amazing moves on one play. He got away from would-be pass rushers all night long. A stiff arm here, a spin move there, a sidestep. So, I mean, the guy is just phenomenal. And he's at the peak of his powers, and it is special to watch.
That's special stuff.
So Mahomes clearly had a hand in this. What I thought, though, was most interesting in terms of how different this looked than 2 years ago in the Super Bowl is that the Bucs defense isn't nearly as loaded as it used to be. It just does not have the same depth of incredible pass rushers, defensive backs, linebackers playing at a super high level like it did. And you can look no further than the way the Chiefs were able to put together long drives. Not only did they score in the red zone, touchdowns instead of field goals, but they go 12 plays, 79 yards for their second score. They then follow that up with 11 plays, 82 yards for their third score. There's a drive in the third quarter that basically puts it away. It's a 31-17 game. They go 9 plays, 65 yards for a touchdown. Those are 21 back-breaking points, and they all happen on long drives. Now, again, there's some short fields in there as well that they capitalized on, but it's a 7-3 game, and they go 80 yards on 12 plays. They're up 14-3, and then to lead off the second quarter, they go 11 for 82. It wasn't a big strike, and the Chiefs have been known for that big strike to Kelce or that big strike to Tyreek Hill or Mecole Hardman or Sammy Watkins or choose your weapon of choice over the last 4 or 5 seasons. That was just methodical. We're going down the field, and then we're going to score once we're in the red zone. And that, to me, was a sign that the Chiefs' offense last night had a great night. I mean, a really, truly great night, but also that the Buccaneers' defense is not what it was, and the Bucs are now 2-2. Remember, they shut down the Cowboys week number one of that opening Sunday night, and that was an Cowboys performance. They shut down the Saints, and look how bad the Saints look these days. And then they had that win, or that loss, rather, against the Packers in the defensive-laden game. So you can leave some credit on the field for them in the way that they played against the Packers. But last night, they just were not as intimidating as they were a couple of years ago when they won the Super Bowl. And for Mahomes, he just simply had the answer to all of their questions. Chiefs get a big bounce-back victory after the way that they lost last week against the Colts. And the Buccaneers are 2-2, but 3 straight weeks to get healthy. Falcons, Steelers, Panthers for Tampa Bay. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. So we'll get to plenty more football here. So much from yesterday's NFL Week 4. But I just wanted to get the Mets-Braves thing out of the way now. Because as you all know, myself, Pete the Body, and Andrew Bogish, all diehard Mets fans. Mraz, diehard Yankee fans. So Mraz taking great glee in the sweep by the Braves over the weekend. And I don't want to keep doing this because 99% of you do not care about this series. Probably don't even care about going into the Major League Baseball postseason until games start actually being played in the playoffs. So I don't want to be too self-indulgent with this, but what you witnessed over the weekend as the Braves took 3 of 3 from the Mets is at its core how difficult it is to root for a team that always loses the big game. And I'm sure many of you can relate. There's plenty of these franchises out there. But today, Pete the Body is, you know, kicking dogs on his way into work. Bogus is just shaking his head. I feel like I just took six rounds with Evander Holyfield. And what it is that no matter how optimistic you want to be, and I am by trade, I am in my DNA the eternal optimist, really. You want to believe it's different every single time. You want to believe that Lucy will not pull the football away from Charlie Brown. But it always happens this way. Always. And you can't escape it. It is like Freddy Krueger or Jason or some other killer from a Halloween movie or a horror slasher movie waiting in the bushes, and no matter how good that camp out was, that guy's going to kill you by the end of that movie.
I'd rather have that fate.
You go back to 1988, they win 100 games. They could go up 3-1 of the NLCS against the Dodgers team. They owned the entire season. And Gooden gives up the homer to Socha, and they collapse. And you could fast forward to 1999, and you could have the walk-off Grand Slam single by Robin Ventura, but the Braves are still lurking to knock you out of the NLCS. And you could get to the freaking World Series in 2000. And you could have the Yankees in front of you, the worst version of the Yankees during their dynasty years, and Timo Perez would have a base-running blunder. And you could get to 2006 and get to the NLCS with home field advantage in Game 7 and an Endy Chavez catch at the wall, iconic catch, and Beltran wouldn't take the bat off his shoulder. And you could be in the driver's seat up 7 with 7 to play, or whatever that was, 7 with 13 to play in the 17. NL East. Up 7 with 17 to play. And the Marlins would bombard you in the final game of the season to boo you off the field. And in 08, you could have the lead as well, and then the final game at Shea Stadium with all the legends in the building, and you would spit the bit, and your day and season would end there as well. And in 2015, you could make the World Series, and your closer, Jairus Familia, would give up a soul-crushing home run in Game 1 of the World Series so that the freaking Royals were the team that were World Series champions. And this year you could win 100 games, 100 games, 100 games, and be the third or fourth best team in the National League and the second best team in your division, and you could have DeGrom and Scherzer and Bassett lined up for the final series and not need to sweep and not need to take two of three, but just need to win one measly game. You just had to get one game with DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett. Just one. And you got swept. And so this is the torture that myself and Bogus and Bellotti have signed up for the rest of our lives. And it's tough.
Don't forget 2016.
And it's really tough. All right, in 2016, you could make the playoffs, the one-game wild card, and Madison Bumgarner, perhaps the greatest big-game pitcher since Bob Gibson, who'd be on the mound and completely shut you down, even though Syndergaard had a great day as well that night, Bumgarner would be just a little bit better. And so, it's just the freaking horror film. It is just the slasher film, because all year you're like, great team, different team, Buck Showalter. Now you have DeGrom and Scherzer. Scherzer's back healthy. DeGrom's back healthy. That series, it lines up. All you need is one. And you get punched in the stomach night after night after night. They can't hit. Runners left on. And the aces melt down. Ah, just keep. And that shank, it's in Atlanta, so they're doing the tomahawk chop every night in your face as well, and there's not even really close games. You're just watching you get bled to death. So we've been filleted like fish over the weekend. And again, it's the Braves. Of course it has to be the Braves, because it's always the Braves. Ha! That's it. That's all I'm saying for the rest of the day. You guys care about football. That's all that really matters today. I don't want to be self-indulgent here, but that I just wanted to get off my chest. So when you hear an angry Bilotti or a downtrodden Bogish, or you can sense some palpable sorrow in my voice today, this is what we're talking about.
No Braves waffles today?
No Braves waffles today. No Fudgy the Whale cake either.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, cause there is no way you're round it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
Whew. Well, what a few months it's been for Brian Brzee of the Clemson Tigers. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, he was our subject of Momentous Monday. And so were the Clemson Tigers, because he had to leave the team for his younger sister's funeral and miss a game, and many of his teammates came along with him for emotional support at the funeral. Well, College Game Day was at Clemson over the weekend as NC State was traveling to Clemson to take on the Tigers in a huge ACC tilt, two top 10 teams. And our friend Jen Latta from ESPN's College Game Day did an emotional feature and tribute to his younger sister, Ella Brzee. The story is that Ella was the youngest of the four children of the Brzee family. Brian was second youngest, and they grew to really have a really close bond, and he would kind of look out after her as he was a couple of years older. And 2 years ago, Ella Brzee, at just 15 years old, was diagnosed with a really aggressive form of brain cancer. So she fought it for a while. She was even on hand over the summer in Clemson for a service celebrating women who have fought cancer and beaten it. And, you know, just her strength being so thin, having lost her hair, but seeing, you know, the spirit within her was really an emotional and inspirational type of figure. Well, unfortunately, things turned two more tumors came and Ella passed away a couple of weeks ago in mid-September. So this story was, it was heavy, it was emotional. I mean, my heart goes out to the Brazee family. And it's a really heartfelt, poignant, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching story. But you just feel for them and Brian and the parents and everybody involved. Well, this past week, Brazee did not play against NC State. And Dabo could only say there was a non-football medical issue. And so nobody knows what's going on. And of course, you've got the backstory of his sister. And Dabo finally said that it's all good. It was scary. It's not what his family needed at this point. It's been a mess. It's been a week. What a week. But thankfully, it turned out great. We got really good news on Saturday, so we feel great about that. It was a really tough 3 or 4 days for him and his family, especially with all that they've been through. Hopefully, we'll check out tomorrow again, and we'll get him back rolling this week, hopefully. So, scary situation for the Brazee family on top of what happened to their daughter a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, for Brian Brazee, just to even have the strength to keep wanting to play football and to focus on football with his team and his teammates and his teammates and program supporting him is a pretty incredible thing. Now, for the Clemson Tigers also, that's a huge win. And there was a lot of question marks about DJ Uiagalelei after last season. I certainly led the brigade. I did not see anything from DJ that I found all that impressive last year. And I think that where that bar was set with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, it's always going to be really hard to reach. And I don't think Uiagalelei is ever going to get there. Those guys are kind of program-defining players and talents. But he played really well on Saturday against an elite NC State defense. They get the victory 30-20, and so Clemson keeps that stranglehold on the ACC. Last year, they lost the conference to Pitt in what was, for them, a really down year, but it looks like they are once again the class of the conference because that was a chance for NC State to take the driver's seat and to be the inside track representative out of the ACC, perhaps to go to a college football playoff. And Dave Doran's been there. We had Coach Doran on a couple of weeks ago, kind of building over the last decade. And this is what it built to. A supposed vulnerable Clemson team that didn't have a great offense this year. And NC State finally catching them. And they had them. And they had their chance. And Clemson was the better team. And they put up 30 points against a really good NC State defense. So props to Clemson. It's been a really brutal, emotional couple of weeks for them on the Brazee front, and they come out with a victory on Saturday. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mike Tomlin yesterday makes the decision to go to Mitchell, to go away from Mitchell Trubisky. He starts Trubisky yesterday, but at halftime, makes the call. We're going to bring in the rookie, Kenny Pickett. Doesn't end up paying dividends. They end up losing to the New York Jets. Pickett has a few good throws and a few mistaken throws, but the question becomes, what do you now do at quarterback? And I think they'll just end up staying with Kenny Pickett. And I don't mind that decision. I was one that believed they should start Mitchell Trubisky in the offseason. I thought he had played really well in the preseason. He deserved to start week number one. And it didn't make any sense to me to rush Pickett in there, considering once you went to Pickett, you would not go back. And that's how I feel now. I don't think you go back. The one thing I would say, though, is that the motivation of why this week, why now for Pickett, considering Pickett didn't get any first-team reps last week, considering he did not start the game against the Jets, considering Mike Tomlin gave no signs that he would even play Pickett. And all he said was we needed a spark. I don't think you'll ever get Mike Tomlin to admit it, but I think yesterday he saw a juncture in the season. I think he knows that he's outmanned this year, especially with the injury to T.J. Watt. I think he saw a very vulnerable opponent in the New York Jets. And I think he said, we win today's game and we keep a season. If we lose today's game, it's over. And so I think that was a break glass in case of emergency situation. And he broke the glass and he knows now he can't go back. And so I believe him from this standpoint. I think he was looking for a spark. I do. I think he was looking for a spark. And you can argue whether he really got one. But what I don't think you can argue is it was a moment of desperation for Mike Tomlin because he knew you dropped to 1-3, 0-2 at home, no TJ Watt, and you lost to the Jets. You ain't going anywhere this year. 2-2 feels a lot different than 1-3. And it didn't work out. And so now he's stuck with that decision. I don't think you can go back to Mitch Trubisky because then you're just kind of riding this wave of every time Trubisky struggles, you're just waiting to bring in the rookie. Trubisky deserved to start this season. I really believe that. But within a month, it was evident he's in over his head. He's just not effective. The Steelers' offense has been dreadful under Trubisky. And yesterday, he scored 10 points at the half against a Jets team whose season as well has been on the fritz. And he deserves to get yanked. That's it. Trubisky had his month. It might not feel like a long time, but, you know, I think you saw enough. And now you can go to Pickett and feel like we gave Trubisky a shot. Now, Trubisky's upset. He was frustrated. Dude, you got to be better. I'm sorry. You can't watch the Steelers over the first month of the season and think that Trubisky was done dirty yesterday. He had 3.5 games to get them in the end zone and barely did it. You know, so I don't think, even though Trubisky's going to act like he got screwed over, I mean, the only win of the season was that bonkers opening week win against the Bengals when nobody wanted to win in overtime. They put up 14 points against the Patriots, 17 points against the Browns, 10 points in the first half yesterday against the Jets. You know, and in retrospect, all four of those games are winnable games. None of those are great teams, and they're 1-3. So I don't mind the Tomlin decision, but I don't think you could put the genie back in the bottle now.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, and remember that you can take us with you wherever you go. Use the free Odyssey app to stream the DA show and the rest of CBS Sports Radio, or the best of the show, or full episodes in podcast form. That's all inside the free Odyssey app. Soundcheck begins with Ron Rivera after his offense gets completely shut down by the Cowboys yesterday. Sounds like a man out of answers in early October.
It's time to take another step. I mean, you look at the players, you look at some of the things that go on, you watch the entirety of the game play by play, and you see enough that tells you you should play better. We need to play better. We did some positive things running the football with some positive shutting down the run, but we got to sustain it, though. You know what I'm saying? When you're running the ball successfully, you can't take minus plays, especially at the start of the second half.
This offense is getting worse. Carson Wentz is so bad. And can I just note that, okay, the Commanders did the rebrand. Now they have these all-black uniforms. Why would you break out your special uniforms on the road? Shouldn't that be for your home crowd? It was like Washington knew playing the Cowboys was actually their most visible game of the year. So even though it's on the road, hey, at least we're important for this week because we play the Cowboys. But Carson Wentz is terrible. He's now put up a total of 18 points over the last 2 weeks in the division. And last week against the Eagles, really it was a shutout until garbage time. And two of those points were on the safety. I mean, he is so bad. The Commanders are so bad. The Commanders are a 4-5 win team. And we all like Ron Rivera, but that's what are we doing here? I mean, is Ron Rivera the answer? Is Carson Wentz the answer? Distinctively, no. Oof.
DA, 2 weeks or next week they play the Bears on Thursday Night Football.
Oh no!
The Commanders Bears.
Oh,
next week on Thursday Night Football.
A week from Thursday.
Yeah, the 13th.
Oh.
That's your Amazon game.
Oh. Michaels will be so bored. Oh God. Commanders Bears. Where else would you rather be?
Oh.
Woo-hoo. El stinkaroo. Hey, so the Seattle Mariners have clinched their first postseason berth since 2001. Now, the Mariners had the longest drought of making the postseason of the four major sports. Longest drought since 01. There's been some bad teams that have made the playoffs since then. The Browns, the Lions, the Sacramento Kings. These teams have made the playoffs since the Sonics have, or since the Mariners have, rather, since the Sonics were a thing. So, how about over the weekend, how they clinch a playoff spot? It's a pinch hit, walk-off home run. Listen to the call from Dave Sims on Root Sports.
The pitch from Acevedo. A drive deep to right field. Down the line. The Mariners win this game 2-1. The dream lives. They're going to the playoffs. The drought is over. Caroli. Wow. Hey now. Hey now. Hey now.
Are you kidding me, Caroli? He gets a slider and hits it out the windows out there for his 26th home run of the year. That's right. The party is going. Congratulations to the Mariners. A long season gets paid off with a trip to the postseason.
That is beautiful. Mariners clinch the wild card.
It's a great call by Dave Sims, and it's a great moment. And honestly, the Mariners don't have to win a game of the playoffs. That's their playoff moment. That was a packed house in Seattle. It's a walk-off home run to clinch a playoff spot, and the celebration was like they had just clinched the American League. It was like they had just gone to the World Series. It was bedlam. I mean, the crowd is like hanging over the railing, like falling out of the stadium. That moment is amazing. To break the drought, to do it that way, to do it at home in October, that looked and felt like a playoff game. Folks, how cool was that scene on Friday night?
Yeah, it must be really nice when your team gets hits in big games.
Let's talk about the Mariners, not the Mets.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. I think they did a full team circle dance, like a kick line. Scott Service said, let's go party. And then they played well Saturday. They did not show up Sunday. It's like they had a two-day party. Didn't play well yesterday. But yeah, it's just, it's right. The Sonics have made us, I feel like, love Seattle even more of a, like, have more sympathy and more desire for the city to be good, even though the Seahawks have been good this entire time. So it just feels right that Seattle's back in the baseball postseason.
What a cool way to break the drought. That's just the coolest way ever. 21 years goes up in flames on a walk-off pinch hit home run at home in October. That was freaking awesome. Finally, we're going to go to Mississippi State, where Mike Leach, via the SEC Network, is getting interviewed by the sideline reporter. It's Alyssa Lang on the sideline. Now, Alyssa knows that we've heard Mike Leach have some thoughts on weddings and getting married before. So she opens up the door, and Mike Leach barrels through.
I know you have strong thoughts on weddings. I'm in the middle of planning one right now. Do you have any advice for me?
Who are you marrying?
His name is Trevor.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll have to set up a meeting and I'll talk to him. I would kind of keep it on the down low, which you failed to do that. Trevor was probably planning to, but you didn't. So go ahead and don't say anything else about it. But as soon as the season's over, or even an off week, go elope. Trust me on that. Go elope. Because basically every female in the family is going to terrorize you guys until it's over. Once it's over, I mean, they'll be upset for a few days, but it'll be over. And then, you know, you cruise along, have a happy marriage, have a happy life.
I'll pass along the message. Thanks, Coach. Congrats on the win.
Trevor, unless he's crazy, is totally on my side. And trust me on this. If Trevor doesn't have the sense to do that, tell him to call me because, I mean, he needs to do trust. I told all my kids, I'll give you $10,000 extra if you elope. So far, they haven't done it, but I would, too.
Why do we think that Mike Leach is so into the eloping? Because I would say on the one hand, well, it's because it saves you money.
Yes.
But he's saying, I'll cut you a check for 10 grand just to elope.
But that's 10 grand, that's, not 100 grand right. for a wedding.
It's a money saver. He's that's out fair. For a good deal.
Unless he just doesn't like to attend weddings.
Well, I think it's also, he brings up something that's so true there about every female in the family all over you. I think it's not only the saving money, I think he doesn't want to deal with any of the nonsense. The wives, the mothers, everybody into the wedding planning. It's such a headache that to him, I'll cut you 10 grand if I never have to hear from anybody in the family about this and I save money.
But he's not involved in the wedding planning. What does he care?
Well, because if it's his kid, he cares financially. It's the aura in the room, D.A. If he's got to sit there.
Wait, it's like working with Pete today?
Yes! Yes! Pete would be like the mother-in-law constantly over. I can't hear about the wedding anymore. He wants peace.
It must have been a bad experience. It must have been a bad experience for him.
Does Mike Leach have a point? Is it better to elope? None of us did. Pete got married with two wedding celebrations. I got married once with two wedding celebrations. We all had the wedding. None of us eloped. Did we make a mistake?
I want to say we all did. But at the same time, isn't there an element of, like, miserable, right? Like, shouldn't, if you're not going to celebrate a wedding, what are you going to celebrate?
By miserable?
Well, because if you just elope, it's like, here we go. It's just another day. Like, a wedding should be a special day in theory. So they cost way too much money. They should not be as expensive as they are. But if you just elope, I don't know. I mean, celebrate something. It feels like you're just miserable your whole life.
Well, me and you, Mraz, specifically are party people. We like to plan gatherings, like to bring people together. And my wife actually made it relatively easy on me. We had a few disagreements, but not many. And we tried to do it on a budget because we didn't get a lot of money from our family. So we tried to make sure we were smart with the cash. And she was amazing at figuring out ways to be cost effective. And we had two really nice celebrations. But I do think that there's a value to just taking the cash and putting it towards your first home or putting it towards your life or putting it towards something. Because, I mean, to your point, I love the celebration. I love getting everybody together. I would have been uncomfortable eloping. I think my wife would have been even more comfortable with something like that because she didn't ever really want something big. And I was like, no, I got too many friends, too many family members. I've been to too many weddings. Now I want the party. Now I want to throw the party.
I want the attention on me, damn it.
But there's just something very logical and pragmatic about like taking 50 grand or 35 grand or 20 grand or however much it costs. I mean, I've been to a wedding that costs 100 grand. I'm like, I would never spend that much money on a celebration ever. That just seems stupid. But there's something very logistical about, let me just take the cash and put it towards our life together.
There is. But again, then basically what you're saying is the rest of your family doesn't matter when you elope, right? Like your mom doesn't get that experience, your dad, all that kind of stuff.
And then you have to ask, is it their day? Are you supposed to make it their day, or is it supposed to be about you?
Well, and that's the thing. It is supposed to be about you, but in reality, it still kind of is about them in a way, too. Like, you know, they raise you all this. If they're comfortable with it, then it's fine. But, you know, a father can't walk his daughter down the aisle. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. I'm going to want to walk my kids down the aisle. I am. I know it. Taylor, it's going to cost me an arm and a leg, but I'm going
to
do it.
Taylor wants to elope and says, hey, Dad, just cut me a check for $10,000.
Well, first of all, don't come. If you just want to elope, don't come asking for $10,000. That's
don't ask for the Mike Leach plan.
I'll support my daughters no matter what they want to do, but there would be an element of disappointment if I didn't get to do the, you know, the father daughter dance.
Definitely,
all that stuff. For sure.
Okay, so you feel the same way. You wouldn't want Abby eloping.
I mean, at the end of the day, she needs to do what she and her whomever want to do. But it would be painful to not have that experience. Because how do you not think about it as a dad, walking her down the aisle, having the dance, giving a toast? Like, that would be a bummer. I'd get over it, but it would absolutely hurt.
Do you think you made a mistake not eloping?
No, our wedding was awesome. We had a great time. I can't imagine not. And I felt bad. We didn't get married in church because my wife isn't religious at all, and I, at that point, wasn't either. And I knew that probably...
Are you more religious now?
No, I mean, I was growing up.
I see.
And then it went away because of logic. I was worried that my mom and my family was going to be bothered by that because my mom still goes to church every weekend.
Yeah.
So, like, I I thought about those things. We did what was best for us in the end, but those things crossed my mind. And it was a, you know, it was a just a part of the conversation, how we're going to do things. So I thought about those stuff, and but we would never have not had a huge party.
Would be nice to have that extra money, though.
I mean, you've met my wife. Do you think she would have been okay with just the two of us disappearing for a weekend?
I don't know. That's a good question.
No. She wanted a party.
She loves a good time. But yes. I don't know. If you said no, Katie wanted to go to, like, Mallorca for, like, a week.
They went on 17 vacations this year. I don't think they're missing the money that they would have had with the wedding. How many more Matthews trips did they need with that wedding?
I got tickets, by the way, for the show I couldn't get in that morning.
Sitting
so we're
outside,
good to go.
But still.
Pete, would you have taken the cash in retrospect instead
of... First time, yes. Got a vacation out of it the first time. Second time, no.
So we all would still have the wedding. Not elope. Okay.
And don't forget, this is a regional thing, too. Like, up here is where we go all out for these weddings. A lot of people are kind of like scratching their head, like, what are you guys talking about? Like, a lot of places don't do it the way we do it in
these
parts.
But, I mean, there are places that do it even bigger.
Sure.
I mean, down south, if you are part of, you know, a certain societal group, I mean, a Southern Belle wedding, like, is incredible. Like, a Mississippi wedding can be, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You're right.
A Texas wedding.
But I could do without the Triscuit and Colby Jack Cheese in Port St. Lucie, Florida. I mean, they don't know what's going on down there for weddings.
Oh, because you've attended one in Port St. Lucie.
Oh, I've attended about four of them, and it's always the same thing. You get, you know, four Coors Lights and really bad cheese and crackers, and that's your wedding.
Bridget attended one where they handed her a bill.
Really?
At the bar, yeah.
She got charged at the bar?
Yep. Up in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I was at a non-open bar wedding in Mass as well.
Oh, that's brutal.
You don't get a gift then.
No. You take back the gift.
Your gift is my present.
It's coming with me. That is your sound check. AB has headlines.
I do, and they are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. The Buccaneers got to play in Tampa Bay. They had Chris Godwin and Mike Evans back, and it did not matter against the Chiefs.
At the two, they fake the trap. Now Mahomes scrambling to his right, holding it, gets off the hit, now lunging forward, and now fires it late, caught at the back of the end zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes with the touchdown pass.
Not even the great Mitch Holtis could do that play justice. Mahomes flushed right, thinks about running it himself, but defenders meet him around the five-yard line. He spins out of one tackle,
incredible,
steps to the two, then with another buck diving at his feet, he jumps and flicks the ball for the TD to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes threw two other scores, while Edwards-Helaire also scored on the ground in this 41-31 road win. So, Tom Brady's night ended poorly. It began with Antonio Brown posting a photo of him, Antonio Brown, and Giselle hugging after winning Super Bowl 54. The caption was, quote, "Put that S word on."
Yeah, this was interesting.
Yeah, not what you expect from the guy you let live on your property, unless that guy's Antonio Brown, and this is exactly what you'd expect him to do. So there he is, the former house guest. It appears to be having some fun with TB12 and Giselle having issues.
I mean, AB went off the rails this weekend. He was filmed in Dubai. He was at a hotel in Dubai.
That was in May.
Yeah.
Oh, that was in May.
That was in May.
We only found out about it this weekend.
Oh, so we saw a video this weekend of him naked in the hotel pool, jumping up and thrusting his bare butt cheeks in a woman's face, and then prepping the landing gear when he was in the pool as well.
Penance?
Well endowed.
Showing that off. And then last night going into Sunday Night Football, posted a picture of Giselle hugging him and posted that on Instagram and said, "Put that bleep on." Okay. So he's actively trolling Tom Brady's broken marriage right now.
Used to be his landlord, and now he's taking shots at him.
You can't be doing that if you're AB. The guy let you live there. That's why Brady was a sucker.
You think? You can't do that if you're AB? I would say that's slightly out of bounds. Like,
yeah.
End zone dancing on a broken marriage? That's really, really bad.
On a weekend, we all, you know, saw the wiffle ball bat.
The blur did nothing for it.
The blur did nothing.
They have to pixel the whole screen.
The blur did nothing. I mean, really.
It did nothing.
It did nothing. You know everything about...
I saw more there than I did with AB's TikTok video in the locker room after that win in the playoffs.
Yeah. That was a whole thing. I mean, he was not afraid to play shrimp cocktail.
He would have went to Duke.
Shrimp.
He wanted communal shower. That was more like squid cocktail.
Yeah, it was not shrimp cocktail. That was, by the way, that's exactly what I was intimidated by at Duke.
Churro cocktail.
Yeah. It's a full squid. Eel cocktail.
Pizza churro cocktail.
I would have been standing in that shower feeling like I had nothing but a turkey's neck.
I'd walk around naked all the time. That was
yeah, I would wear pants.
How could you?
Bogues, come on. No pants again at work?
We know. We get it.
We got it.
HR is just waiting at the front door. You can't come in today. You gotta put the Odyssey pants on.
Cap would have no problem setting up the cameras.
Yeah, just stay behind the desk, Bogish. You think Ack would sit on my chair after that? other football yesterday. Fully clothed, the Broncos lost in Vegas 32-23. And running back Javonte Williams and pass rusher Randy Gregory suffer right knee injuries. Williams is feared to be significant. Both are getting MRIs today. The Bills rallied for a 23-20 win in Baltimore. The Eagles spotted the Jaguars 14 points, then won 29-21, improving to 4-0. And the Vikings survived the first game in London this season, 28-25 over the Saints, when Will Lutz's 61-yard field goal hit Antonio Brown, then the crossbar, then missed. Wisconsin football fired Paul Chris.
Boing.
It hit Antonio Brown. And then the crossbar, the double doink. The ball hit Antonio Brown. And then the crossbar, no good.
Bung, bang.
What's bigger, the crossbar or Antonio Brown?
It depends.
The flag blowing off the top.
If it really goes directly over Antonio Brown, it's a good field goal.
Yeah. Harlan, describe that wind blowing left to right. A little moisture at the top of the crossbar.
Really blowing west.
Antonio, please stay still. Got a field goal attempt.
You're welcome, London.
I'm the police
this
here.
This is NFL football.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Second and six from the 8. Three tight ends. Slayton split right. Play fake. Jones is going to bootleg and roll left. He's going to run it again. Jones to the 5. Jones dives in. Touchdown, Giants.
That is some special stuff.
Tough game. Physical game. What we thought it would be. And I thought those Chicago played physical. I thought our guys played physical. Made a few more plays than they did.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah.
25 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us on this fine Monday morning, man. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us on the free Odyssey app. You also get podcasts of the show inside that app as well. You can also stream us using the CBS Sports app, also free. Monday Night Football Preview, sponsored by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Rams visiting Jimmy G and the Niners. San Francisco a slight 1.5-point favorite, hosting the defending Super Bowl champs as they seek to get back to 500. That's the final pick of the Wizard of Odds for this week. And I got the Niners tonight minus the 1.5. So once that is wrapped up, tomorrow we'll break down the bets.
It's the Wizard of Oz.
From the weekend that was, Gelb's gambles, Mraz's up the gut picks, and the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I went 2-0. Gelb going for 3-0 tonight. He's head up with you.
Oh, he's got the Rams.
He's got the Rams. If he does that, he will go 3-0 and tie me. If he loses, I still remain a game up.
You're 2-0 or 2-1?
2-1. I finished 2-1. Jags screwed me, blowing a 14-0 lead.
Okay. Yesterday at the Meadowlands, you heard Bob Papa on Giants Radio. They get the 20-12 win over the Bears. And the Giants are 3-1, and I don't think anybody's going to confuse them with one of the best teams in the NFL. They might be 3-1, but they're not like the Bills 3-1. But what I think it's so obvious is that the Giants, despite this being a really bad Bears team, the Giants, for the first time in a long time, have a very cogent direction. You can see a different life. You can see a different plan of attack. You can see a different focus now that you have non-idiots leading the franchise. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are basically not morons. They're actually somewhat smart. And it is such a departure from the Joe Judge, a glorified gym teacher, Pat Shurmur, who was a glorified, you know, replacement teacher, and Ben McAdoo, who was like a used car salesman. None of those guys commanded respect. None of those guys proved to have a clear-cut focus or direction. And granted, there was the Dave Gettleman aspect in this as well, but you can just tell the Giants have a plan. There was a drive in this game where, a couple of drives, where clearly Brian Daboll realized our best chance of winning is just to make sure Daniel Jones is out in space. Let's run QB waggles. Let's run fake pitches. Let's get him out on bootlegs. And let's just let him run the football when needed. And if he's not, there's going to be a tight end of the flat that he can dump off to. The Giants do not have good weapons besides Saquon. The Giants have no tight end situation. The wide receiver situation now that Sterling Shepard is down is a disgrace. David Sills is still getting snaps. I mean, it's crazy. But what they're saying is, let's just use the parts that we have that do work and will use them the way that they need to be used. It won't be pretty. It won't be aesthetically pleasing, but it's the best chance for it to work. We're not trying to look smart here. We're not trying to have an ego here. We're just trying to find the things that work well. Now, they've got to benefit from a muffed punt by the Bears. They got to benefit from Bears sloppiness, but they do it, and I think that's why they're 3-1, is that they're building a reputation of we won't beat ourselves, and we'll do the few things that maybe we do well, and we'll just try to keep doing them. And those are very basic tenets, but some coaches are too stupid to get it or are too arrogant to do them. McAdoo was the height of arrogance. You know, we're going to throw the ball. We're going to do this. The offense is going to look like this. I mean, you know, he thought he was going to bring Aaron Rodgers' Packers offense to the Giants. Sorry, not happening.
I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
He thought he was the beacon of hope. Okay? Imagine being a person that called himself the beacon of light.
You know, around, I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
And Pat Shurmur, again, I mean, just the substitute teacher that everybody just throws spitballs at, picks boogers and throws them at him. I mean, Pat Shurmur had no respect inside that office. None. And then Joe Judge is just a big doofus. He is just, you see him on the sideline with the Patriots, you're like, that is just one big doofus there. Now, Dable needs to get his weight in check because he's inflating.
I don't think he's getting any fatter.
I think he is. He looks big. He looks real big. Like his ticker's, he's taken on some stress there. But there's at least a direction. So the Giants are not a great 3-1, but they're just moving forward. And I thought about Bob the Deli Man Mraz because you have often echoed this over the last 10 years that we've worked together. Bob's not so mad if the Giants lose. But after he grinds out six-day work weeks, after he's grinded out a career in the food service industry, cutting boar's head, trying to make the deli at the food town in Brooklyn the best damn food town there is, the best damn deli counter, all he asks for is for 3 hours on Sunday an honest effort. That's all he asks for. And I think for years you've seen disgraceful Giants efforts, and now he's finally getting an honest effort on Sunday afternoon.
He is, and he loves it. Matter of fact, the tables have turned. He had to tell me to calm down yesterday with negativity. Thought I was being too negative. So he just loves it. He loves sitting there watching these Dable Giants. He don't care if they run for 800 yards a game. Doesn't care if he sees a single pass. Let's just win football games and try hard. And he's getting it, and he loves it. Can't get enough of it.
To Saquon Barkley's credit, he's looked fantastic this year.
Leading the NFL in rushing.
He's been injury prone. He's been a bust of a draft pick. He was the wrong pick for them at the wrong time. But this year, he has turned on the Jets, and he's looked fantastic. And the touchdown that he scored yesterday, bouncing off of defenders in the backfield, making something out of completely nothing.
Unbelievable.
Those are the moments that you're like, well, that's why you draft a guy number two overall.
Yeah.
Even though the Giants should not have,
that's
the type of talent.
Right. And the things he struggled with were pass protection on third downs, getting 4 or 5 yards, 4-minute offense. He's doing all of those things perfect this year. And early whispers, MVP candidate.
I would take Bradley.
Well, let's not go there because the Giants are not going to have a record that validates him being there.
Here we go. Oh, you want to bet?
You're doing so well.
No.
You're doing so well. And you attack last sentence.
I don't even like Barkley. But guys, they're going to win at least 10 games here.
At least.
Look at the schedule. Before you guys mock me, look at the schedule. Look at the schedule and tell me how they don't get to 10 now that they have three.
Let's even say they're 10-7. They're not going to make Saquon Barkley the MVP on a 10-7 Giants
team. I said MVP consideration. They'll still give it to a quarterback. If Saquon Barkley leads the league in rushing far and away above everybody else, and this Giant team makes the playoffs, wins 10 games, how does he not get considered for the MVP?
Okay, this is the complete opposite now of his Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani argument.
No, because the Giants would have to be in the playoffs.
Ohtani could not have been the MVP on a non-playoff team.
I'm telling you, 10 wins in the playoffs. If he led the league in rushing, the Giants put 5 games, he doesn't deserve the MVP. So you're a doofus face. You're not even listening to the argument.
No, I'm listening. And there's just not a scenario where Saquon Barkley is in under MVP consideration. I just can't see that happening.
There's also plenty of losable games on this schedule for the Giants. They play the Packers coming up in London. They've got the Cowboys again. They've got two against the Eagles. They've got the Ravens, and they've got the Jaguars. Those are all losable games.
They're not going to lose to the Jags, but sure, they're all losable.
The Jags went to L.A. and pounded the Chargers.
The Jags lost to the Commanders this year.
Okay, that was week one.
D.A., every Giant game is losable. Not in the, like, anybody can lose fashion. They're still the Giants.
Jags, Lions, Seahawks, Commanders twice. That's already... 5 wins, Lions, 6 more wins, Texans, 7 wins. They already have 3. There's your 10. And yeah, that doesn't even count in the Colts and Vikings.
But again,
that doesn't even go win 12 games now.
Why do you do this?
Because it's all based on the schedule.
Why do you do this? Because the Giants can lose to the Vikings. The Giants can lose to the Jaguars.
They can.
The Giants can lose to the Colts. The Giants can lose to the Cowboys.
No doubt.
You're chalking those up as they're going to win 12 games.
No, I said they could. They're at a bare floor now, I think the Giant expectation now is you have to win 10 looking at the schedule.
You have to.
I've totally flipped on it. You have to.
So now Dable and Shane are going to get fired next year because they didn't get to 10
timeout.
Wins?
Do you think? I don't think they will win 12. What I'm telling you is if you look at it like, wow, they could.
No, they can't. No, they can't. Because they're not 12-5. I mean, their wins so far this season are against bad football teams. The Titans, the Panthers, the Bears.
Titans look bad right now?
Week one and week two, they looked awful.
Well, so now the Giants don't get credit for part of the reason they looked awful week one, when now we see that they're probably a good football team. The chicken or the egg. Did they look awful the last 2 weeks? No. So didn't the Giants contribute to them looking awful?
The Giants also played like absolute garbage in the first half against the Titans.
And that was what changed the season and changed the direction of Brian Daboll's Giants.
Until they lost to the Cowboys.
They came back down from 13-0. Different scenario. Didn't have Leonard Williams. Was different. 13-0 come down. It was unbelievable. I'm not trying to get a high horse. They're not going to go win a Super Bowl or anything like that, but Brian Daboll's changed things here, and the Giants are no longer the team that bad teams know they will beat. They are now the team that looks at the bad teams, like I'm pointing that schedule, and say, those are games we are going to win.
Well, I think there's a difference of those are games we are going to win, and those are games we can win. And I'm not going to make a bet with you about whether the Giants win 11 or 12 games, because I don't want to root against the Giants, but they're not winning 11 or 12 games.
I'm going to state this so everybody hears this clearly. I don't think they are winning 11 or 12 games. I think they could. But as they
Well, you said minimum 10. So
minimum was a stupid word to use. They will win 10 games. I think they will finish at 10-7. They will. And I think now we've crossed the point at 3-1 when you actually look at their schedule and say, it's kind of a disappointment now going forward if they don't.
Okay. Either way, I thought about Bob the Deli Man, and my only concern is that here's a 3-1 Giants team that actually can beat bad teams, and Bob believes that Daniel Jones is Phil Simms reincarnate and Kayvon Thibodeau is LT reincarnate.
Wearing those uniforms yesterday, too.
Wearing those uniforms, which, by the way, were so nice.
I know.
That really is their best uniform. And in 2000, when they went to the old school NY, I thought it was a great look. 22 years later, that's still their best look. They looked so good yesterday, but I just felt like, boy, this is already a good story, but Bob thinks this is the 86 Giants all over again.
He's in. Dable's Parcells. And he loves Mike Kafka running the offense. I mean, this is something else. Bob basically wanted to fly the plane to London. He's all in for this week.
Poor guy.
You should have heard him as Bailey Zappi's marching all over the field on the Packers. See, why can't we do it with Davis Webb this week? Giants might have to play Davis Webb this week now. It's another thing.
That's true. You just gave them 10 wins, and you have no idea the hell says of their top two quarterbacks.
Well, and it looks like they're re-signing Landon Collins today. They're a little rekindering the old.
To play quarterback?
Let's go.
Because Daniel Jones is it an ankle injury?
Yeah, shocking. He got hurt again. And Tyrod Taylor, rather than play safe football, decides to go head first when they have no other quarterback. And Saquon basically finished the game as the quarterback.
And so now Davis Mills may get the start in London.
No, Davis Webb. Davis Mills will be helped.
Oh, wait, did I say Davis Mills?
No, just D.A.
Yeah.
Davis Webb might get the start in London, who, by the way, Mraz proclaimed as the solution for the next 12 to 15 years for the Giants at quarterback.
That's your Mike Lennon.
Imagine this week we find out I was right. Like, he takes off and you're like, wow, where did Davis Webb come from? And he's the long-term answer? Oh, I'll dance on everybody's grave on Twitter.
He's been gone and come back, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where did he go?
Buffalo with Dable. And he re-inhabited him.
And now he's
re-inhabited him.
Thank you.
He re-inhabited.
He's now when he made him back good, inside.
Rehabilitated him.
He rehabilitated. Davis Webb was given the quarterback's coach job in Buffalo, and he turned it down to play with Dable here with the Giants. This is his shot.
I love it. So he's going to go to London, outsling, outgun Aaron Rodgers, a 24 of 32 effort for 326 and three touchdowns, and Davis Webb suddenly is the new starting quarterback for the Giants until further notice, and they go 12-5.
Well, we've seen Cooper Rush win these games in Dallas. Why not? The guy had the goods for me to examine him and call him the decade solver.
Didn't you just say that your dad was like, why are you being so negative? Now you're predicting Davis Webb is going to lead them to 12 wins be the next solution to the Giants.
Look, I still wouldn't give the job away from Daniel Jones, but Webb's got a chance here if he plays.
Seriously, what was
negative?
You
see what Bailey Zappi just did to the Packers?
Wait, did your dad think it would be 14-3 and he was bad? You're only giving him 11 wins? What were you being negative about?
My dad's already thinking about Philly in the bye. He is. I'm at least giving you two losses to the Eagles. He's got the bye in his eyes.
I can't take this anymore. This is ridiculous.
What does your dad think they're going to do?
Win the NFC?
He kind of thinks they could win out. He thinks based on the Packers' performance yesterday.
They could win out! Bob the Deli Man thinks the Giants are going 16-1!
I mean, he didn't say guaranteed, but he also thinks Wink Martindale knows the Ravens well. They could beat them in 2 weeks. The Packers can't stop Bailey Zappi. Then next thing you know, you're playing Houston, Seattle. He thinks you're at Thanksgiving with one loss, and the whole country's watching the Giants.
I can't. Not today. I can't do this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's amazing. Bob the Deli Man is talking about a 16-1 Giants team.
And that 12-5 was negative.
He did also tell
Debbie Downer, Sean. Come on, Sean.
I caught him telling two cowboy friends of mine. They got into a big argument at my daughter's birthday Saturday that, and I quote, "You watch, Kenny Golladay can still be a top 10 receiver in this league." Which I had to pump the brakes on my dad to take away the Heineken lights. But
Bob is thinking bye. He's looking at the Eagles and the bye.
There's only one bye.
There's only
Don't
one.
Don't forget. That he's is looking number at, one in the NFC.
He wants one seed in the NFC at 3-1 and sloppily getting by the Bears yesterday.
Quote, "We beat Jalen Hurts last year with a worse team." He's not wrong.
Oh, no.
Poor Paul DeTino.
Oh, no, no.
Why don't you and your dad just host this podcast?
Actually, yes. Bob the Deli Man should be your regular guest on, Up the Leap, whatever that's called.
Oh, it's one giant step that after a loss becomes one giant turd.
One giant WTF.
Well, oh, boy. This is getting good. This is really getting good. Bogues has headlines.
Jilted by Giselle, jilted by Antonio Brown, then jilted by the Chiefs. Tom Brady and his Buccaneers took a 41-31 thumping at home on Sunday Night Football.
Tough game, tough team. You know, they're a good team, but, you know, we got to play a lot better if we want to be good teams. So it hasn't been our best yet this year. Be good to see what it looks like when we do play our best.
Brady threw for three scores, including one to Mike Evans, who was back from his suspension, but they could never catch the Chiefs, who scored touchdowns on four of their first five possessions. Patrick Mahomes also threw for three scores again in this 41-31 final. Wisconsin football fired Paul Christ yesterday, and Colorado dumped Carl Durrell after an 0-5 start. Saturday's 23-point loss to Arizona, their smallest margin of defeat this season. The Atlanta Braves beat an unnamed victim three times this weekend, 5-3 last night. They are now one win away from the NLE's title. So glad manager Brian Snitker enjoyed the sweep.
This is about as exciting and emotional and series, I think, as I've ever been a part of. Even all the playoff series and everything, this was something else.
His Braves were 10.5 games out of first on June 1st. Aaron Judge, another homerless game, now 1-for-7, 6 Ks since hitting number 61. His Yankees losing to the Orioles 3-1. And if you've caught 36ers fever after their win over the Suns in Phoenix last night, they're back in Adelaide next Thursday to face the Tasmania Jack Jumpers.
Wow.
And now, let's get stunned.
Woohoo!
It
doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Now, some of us were all smiles this weekend, enjoying a leisurely fishing trip on a crisp fall morning. Mm-hmm. Others competing for prizes and titles like Chase Kaminsky and Jake Runyon. The duo won the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Championship on Friday.
Oh.
But when their catch was cut open, weights were found inside the
fish. Oh, boy.
Obviously, those weights up the poundage had them atop the leaderboard and maybe explains why they were also leading the season standings. Kaminsky and Runyon immediately disqualified. Organizers immediately apologetic that their event was the scene of such embarrassment for sport fishing. This, however, not the first time Kaminsky and Runyon have been in trouble. They were DQ'd from event last fall because one of them failed a polygraph test,
which wow.
I guess is used often to make sure they're competing correctly since it's honor system. We're like, you're on the boat by yourself and you bring back the fish. It's like, here's what I caught. So they give these dudes polygraph tests to make sure that it's on the up and up. And one of them failed it. So these two jokers...
Wow.
Get him out.
That's truly pathetic, but it has always made you wonder how much cheating does get involved into to fishing tournaments.
Right.
Now, I don't exactly know how this works. I think you're supposed to have a scale. Like, there might be a guy in some of these bass fishing tournaments that comes around with the scale, and then he measures them.
You so keep... I've seen the fancy ones that are on set, like the real high-end pro one, and they all have cameras on the boats now, and they have a little hook scale that they show, and then they put it in the thing, and that's it. So you're watching the whole time that they're not doing anything to the fish.
But for a little one in Sharon, PA...
Look out.
A little lake walleye tournament, the two brothers shoving weights down to the middle of walleyes.
It's like... And who was the major league player years ago where the Super Bowls flew out of the bat when the bat broke? They were corked. They corked the bat.
Yeah.
You can't be corking the fish.
Wasn't that Sosa?
He had cork in the bat.
He had cork. Okay. But
I think it was nettles.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to check.
And getting caught, like the people that got him, the director of the Lake Erie Walleye Trail event, Jason Fisher, is taking a victory lap. I'm disgusted, guys and gals. But I'm glad I caught cheating taking place in your loot at the same time, because LEWT is Lake Erie Walleye Trail.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he's like, I built this loot. He said, I will defend its integrity at all costs. You people deserve the best. So here goes the walleye director taking his bows. I promise to defend you and the walleye. Yeah,
you need me on this wall.
Oh, man. So I went out fishing with my dad on Friday, and I posted some pictures on Instagram. We went out and caught a couple of pickerel, and we had a really good day, but my dad was on fire. He was cracking me up. At some point this week, I got my dad going in on the local grocery store.
Oh, no.
Quote, I think it's being mismanaged. I was dying. I was just dying. So this is too good.
From a man who doesn't know what day it is.
This is too good.
This is a hardware store, sir. We don't have dairy here.
I gotta tell you, I don't know. Not for nothing, but I think it's being mismanaged. I'm looking for the organic rice. It's not where the rice is supposed to be. Sometimes it's over here, sometimes it's over there. Be honest, I don't know who's got what over there, but I think it's being mismanaged.
It's Aaron Boone's running the supermarket.
This Home Depot is the worst produce.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Okay. Antonio Brown had himself a weekend. In fact, he tweeted out a picture of Giselle hugging him and made a crack about Tom Brady. So clearly making fun of the, right now, marriage on the rocks. Do you think Tom Brady regrets having Antonio Brown live in the pool house? 74% of you say yes. Now, half of Americans entertain guests monthly,
while 21% of Americans entertain visitors daily or weekly. One etiquette website says you should be clear about how long you stay at a friend's house, not show up unannounced. Now, Mraz's friend Kyle did stay at Mraz's old apartment an entire wedding weekend. Danielle, not happy. Mraz didn't notice until 2 days later. Speaking of, Antonio Brown had videos that circulated this weekend, apparently from earlier in the summer, where he was butt naked in a pool in a Dubai hotel.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And the blur did nothing for it.
The blur did nothing.
They have to pixel the whole screen.
The blur did nothing. I mean, really.
It did nothing.
It did nothing. You know everything about
I saw AB more AB. There than I did with AB's TikTok video in the locker room after that win in the playoffs.
Yeah. That was a whole thing. I mean, he was not afraid to play shrimp cocktail.
Wife, 34C, she indicated to she wanted to sleep with the entire Uruguayan World Cup team.
He would have went to Duke.
Death shrimp.
He wanted communal shower. That was more like squid cocktail.
Yeah, it was not shrimp cocktail. That was, by the way, that's exactly what I was intimidated by at Duke.
Churro cocktail.
Yeah. It's a full squid.
I mean, we don't talk about
eel cocktail.
Pizza churro cocktail.
I would have been standing in that shower feeling like I had nothing but a turkey's neck.
Hump.
I'd walk around naked all the time. That was
yeah, I would wear pants.
How could you?
28-25 over the Saints when Will Lutz's 61-yard field goal hit Antonio Brown, then the crossbar, then missed. Wisconsin football fired Paul Chris.
Good day, mate.
Boing.
It hit Antonio Brown. And then the crossbar, the double doink. The ball hit Antonio Brown. And then the crossbar, no good.
Bang, bang.
What's bigger, the crossbar or Antonio Brown?
I did the Oreo.
It depends.
The flag blowing off the top.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
When we did that bit, Steven tweeted, I'm dead. I've been crying, laughing so hard at work. People are looking at me like I'm insane. M's are stupid, tweeted. I had to pull over, laughing too hard. Needed that. Biggest story of the weekend, AB's Bo Jackson. Oh, man. Hey, they play jump around at Lambeau Field. So I asked whether that was because they fired Paul Chris, but apparently they play this at every Packer game. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports tweeted in, hey, DA, on a Sunday in the fall, the Badgers can fire their coach. Giannis could score 110 points. Burns could throw a 27-strikeout no-hitter, and nobody would pay more than 3 seconds of attention to anything but the Packers. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to E.J. Stewart on your simulcast and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.